We left off yesterday in the middle of Daf Chavavam Beis. We're in the middle of the discussion. The Gemara had asked a Shaila. We're learning about Kinyan Agav. So we know that you can be Konam Metaltel in Agav Karka. You make a Kinyan on the Karka and you can be Konam Metaltel along with the Karka. But the Gemara raised the Shaila. Do you need Tzvurnu Munachin in the Karka? Do you need the Metaltel in order to be Konam Metaltel? Do you need the Metaltel to be there resting on the Karka? Or could the Metaltel even be in a totally different place and you could still be Konam the Metaltel in Agav the Karka? So that's the Shaila the Gemara is working on. The Gemara will attempt five rayos. At the end of the fifth raya, we're finally going to come to a conclusion. We are up to raya number three, right in the middle of the page, on Daf Chavavim Beis. Tashema. The first one line is Kisela. Tashema. Dam Rabbi Dam Rab. Maisaba the Mechot Shechal B'Yerushalayim. There's a story of a guy who got sick in Yerushalayim, Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning, if you assume like Rabbi Eliezer's general shita that we don't say Divrei Shchiv Mira Kiksuv Nekamsurin Dami, you can say that this fellow was sick. Meaning, Rabbi Eliezer held, normally the Chacham hold that Divrei Shchiv Mira Kiksuv Nekamsurin Dami, that if someone is very sick, all he needs to do to affect a kinyan on his possessions is to say who he wants them to go to, and that's it. That's all he would need, and the kinyan would be chal. But if you assume that, but Rabbi Eliezer assumes that that's not so, that he would still need normal kinyanim. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, this story would have could have happened with someone who is sick. Others say no, it happened with someone who was healthy because we assume like the Rabbanan, meaning the Rabbanan hold if he were sick, the problem that this man faced in the story would not be Shaykh, because the person wanted, we're going to see soon, it was a story of a person who wanted to be makneh something to other people and he wasn't sure how to do it. But if you say like the Rabbanan, that divrei shchiv mira kiksuv nekamsurin dami, if he's sick, let him just say who he wants it to go to and you'd be done, and that's it, that's the end of it. So clearly then, if you assume like the Rabbanan, the guy in the story must have been bari, must have been a healthy person, and a healthy person, words alone aren't enough, certainly need some form of kinyan. And here was his dilemma. Shahayil ha-metaltlin harbei, he had a lot of metaltlin, ubikei shlitnam b'matan, and he wanted to give them as a gift. Amru lo ein lo takana ad sheyiknam al gabei karka. So he told them, sorry, the only way you're going to be able to pull this off is if you give them agav karka, if you're able to be makna karka to somebody, and along with that karka, you can give the matana together with it. So also, what did he do? Halach v'lakach beis rova samach liyushalayim. He went and he purchased a beis rova of karka, a place where you can plant a rova hakav of seeds near Yerushalayim. Va'amar, and he said, tefach al tefach leploni, one tefach of this land should go to this person, the imo, and together with that one square tefach of land, meyotzon umeyachavios, let him also acquire 100 sheep and 100 barrels. Umeis, and then the guy died. So we wanted to know, they wanted to know, was Ploni Kona the 100 sheep and the 100 barrels? The Kimu Chacham, Mestavarav, and the Chacham said, yes, absolutely, it was a perfectly valid Kinyan Agav. Now, if it was a Tefach by Tefach of land, obviously you can't fit 100 sheep and 100 barrels on one by one Tefach. V'yamr bin Sivorim, Tefach al Tefach l'may chazi. But if you need all the metalton to be piled up on the Karka, then a Tefach of one square Tefach of land should not be enough. So says Gemara, Hachamai Skinan, L'dami. The Gemara says, no, he wasn't really giving 100 sheep and 100 barrels. He was giving the value of 100 sheep and 100 barrels, right? Rach says, "Maos hayubiyah delitein matana v'tzavar d'mei meyatzon meyachavios alav." Right, the cash of 100 sheep, the value of 100 sheep and 100 barrels in cash could certainly fit on a very tiny piece of land, and that's all he was saying. Hachinami m'stavra. And it's logical to assume that that's the case. If it was actually 100 barrels and 100 sheep, let him do a kinyan chalipin to be makanit in. Velamai. So the Gemara says, wait a second. How does that prove anything? The fact that he could have done a kinyan chalipin. Velamai. Ladami, what are we trying to say? That he was trying to give him money? He has alternatives with that also. He could just do a kinyan mashicha. Let the guy take the money. What's the big deal? So Ella delaysi the makabal matana. Obviously, the reason why that wasn't an option was because the recipient wasn't present. And in the absence of the recipient, he needed to do something else. Hachanami delay say the makabal matana. And that's why chalipin couldn't be done either, because the guy wasn't around to be kona. So v'niskinu ne'alei agav acher. So frak the Gemara, but still, even if the guy's not around, why don't you do some other form of kinyan by having someone else do the kinyan for him? Meaning there's a halacha zachal adam shalom b'fanav. You're allowed to be kona something that you know for sure the person would want on the person's behalf, so let someone else be kona it for him. Lo samcha daite, savar shamat v'achalu. No, he wasn't happy about giving it to someone else to be kona for him. He thought the other guy would steal it. He thought the other guy would take some and take it for himself. So he wanted it to be direct kinyan, but he couldn't do any of the normal kinyanim because the fellow wasn't there. But how can we say in lo takana that he had no other option other than to do a kinyan agav? What do you mean he had no other option? He could have done one of these. He could have had someone else be zocha in it for the guy. He just chose not to because he was afraid. How can you say that's in lo takana? No, what we mean to say is lemaid lo samcha daite in lo takana achi yikna mal gabe karka. No, based on the fact that he wasn't samich das, that he didn't really trust anybody. Given that fact, so now the only thing he could do was to do a kinyan agav, was to be maknit to the other person, agav the karka. Okay, so raya number three was unsuccessful. We still don't know. Do you need the metaltalin to be piled up on the karka itself? So raya number four, tashema, there's a lot to talk about within this raya. Tashema, ma'aser Rav Gamliel zakenim shoy bam besvina. There was an episode that happened where Rav Gamliel and the Zakenim were traveling on a boat. Amar lahen Rav Gamliel Zakenim. So Rav Gamliel says to the Zakenim, Isur Shani Yasid Lamud, the 10% that I'm going to ultimately measure out when I get back home from my my produce, the 10% that I'll ultimately measure out, Nasan al Yoshua, I'm giving it to Yahushua. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was with him on the trip. And he said, I'm giving it to you, Rabbi Yeshua, umakomo muskalo, and the place where it's currently resting should be rented to you. And through that, you should be able to be kona the land. V'isar acher shani yasalamud, and another 10% that I'll ultimately measure out, nasal nala Akiva ben Yosef. I want to give that to Akiva ben Yosef, to Rabbi Akiva, kadesh yiska bolaniim, so that he can acquire it on behalf of the aniim, because Rabbi Akiva was the gabay tzedakah. So the meiser ani, meiser rishon, he gives to Rabbi Yishuv ben Chananya, who was a Levi. So that's fine. Meiser ani, he gives to Rabbi Akiva, not that Rabbi Akiva was an ani, but because Rabbi Akiva was the gabay tzedakah, he was in charge of all the funds that went to the aniim. Umakoma muskalo, and the place where that meiser is resting should be rented to Rabbi Akiva. Now the question is, why does he need umakoma muskalo? Why does he need to make it that the place where each one's produce is resting be rented to that person? Can't he just be makna them a tefach of karka or something, and that's it? And then to agav that, he'll be kona whatever metaltalin he wants. Why does it have to be the karka upon which the metaltalin is resting? So shemaminot bina tziburimba. So you see that you need the metaltalin if you want to be kona metaltalin agav karka. You see from here you actually need the metaltalin to be piled in the karka. It's not good enough to just have metaltalin in one place, karka in another place. So that's a raya. Says Gemara, no, not such a good raya. Shani yasam kiyechadol truchinu. He was doing it as a favor to them, meaning he wanted to make it as easy as possible for Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva. So it's much easier for Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva if they don't have to worry as soon as they get back from the trip. Oh yeah, I better get this stuff out of Rabbi Gamliel's field, because Rabbi Gamliel's probably getting annoyed that my stuff is in his field. Now, they're not going to have to worry about that because it's their field now. That's all Rabbi Gamliel is trying to do. He's trying to make their lives a little bit easier, not to be matriach them, to be in any sort of rush to remove the produce from his field. Let them take their time and do it when on their own schedule. Now, what's the story over here? Why is he giving the meiser and the meiser rishon and the meiser ani? So Rashi says pasha pshat, that what happened was he had gone on this trip and he had forgotten to tell anyone in his house to take Trumas of Maestros. So he figured he better take it now, because there are people at home that may come to eat this produce, and right now it's all Tevel, so they're going to eat Tevel, so he better take care of it while he's on this trip. So they could avoid any problems of anyone back at home eating his tevel. So Tosos right away asks, wait a second, Vakashan, the third line of Tosos, Dimkein, Mahaya Maul Tikuno, Adraba Garat Fe, Shami Yochlu B'nei Beisra Kol, Vafi Yisra Atzmo. Why is this good? Why does this help to take Shumas and Maestros on the boat? Adrabba makes it worse, because if people in his house still eat the produce, now they're not going to be eating tevel, they're going to be eating truma and meiser, and meiser rishon, meiser rani, the trumas meiser, right? They're going to be eating the actual things that are also for tevel's also also for a person to eat, but they're going to be eating even more serious isurim, right? The trumas meiser within the meiser rishon is a more serious isur than the tevel. Now the truth is, meiser rishon, meiser rani is nishkafarlach. It's not. There's no isur for a czar to eat meiser rishon, meiser rani. It's just a dinamamnus issue that you got to pay it back. But the trumas meiser shebo within the meiser rishon, that's where you got an issue. So that's where it's a much more serious isur than the tevel isur. So isn't he making it worse by being mafresh trumas and meiseros without being there to make sure that it gets to the person directly that he's giving it to? So it says, nah, that's not such a kasha. He was a very rich man. He had a very large amount of produce, so he wasn't worried that they were going to eat all of his stuff. He knew they may take a little bit, but there was no way they would need 100% or even 80% of what he had. So as long as there was enough left over to have for Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani, he knew he'd be fine. So that wasn't a concern. So Tosfos says that kasha is not a kasha. However, Tosfos says, I have six other kashas on Rashi. And he goes through six kashas and the six problems he has with Rashi. First of all, he says, how could he leave his house? We have a chazaka that a chaver would never leave produce that was not taken care of. So how could this guy, how could Rabbi Gamliel leave his house with produce that wasn't taken care of? He doesn't fit into the general chazaka that we have about every single chaver, that every single person who's generally in Israel and Trumas and Maestros, we have a chazaka would never leave stuff unattended, would never leave stuff not taken care of in terms of Trumas and Maestros. How did he violate this? So the Ritva happens to answer different than Tosos. Well, the Ritva says that that the idea of chazaka that a chaver won't be mostly mitachas yad davar sheinu mesukan is only on a chaver shemeis. That when a chaver dies, we have a chazaka that he probably took care of everything before he died, knowing that he was holding at the end, he probably took care of it. But stam, going on a trip, is not necessarily a chazaka that he took care of. Because what are you going to say? Is chazaka that he took care of it the first second? No, he takes care of it in a timely fashion. So he went on a trip and he was delayed and he didn't realize that it wasn't going to happen in a timely fashion. So that type of thing can happen. It's just when he's going to die and he realizes that he's holding at the end and people aren't going to know what the story is, or maybe people won't be mafresh for Shumas or Maestros, so he takes care of it at that time. Now, obviously, according to the Ritva, I think the Ritva says it's beferish. If he dies suddenly, if he had no way of knowing that he was going to die, he gets hit by a truck or something, gets into a car accident, right? If he dies very suddenly, so then you don't have such a chazaka, because there was no planning before the death. Anyway, that's one kasha tosos. Second kasha tosos, lama yitzarach litinam l'haskala makam kriyas shem sagi. Why do you have to rent them a place? Just do kriyas shem. All you have to do is say, the meiser in the northern part of my field will go to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, and the meiser running in the southern part. That's all you need to do. Va'ur kash va'lal osa klum kibin shalomar sheyehe mu'usar. He never said it should be mu'usar. He just said 10% that I'm asid Lahafrish should go to you, and 10% that I must lahafrish. He never called it a shame meiser. He never said anything about meiser rishon or meiser ani. We're deducing what it was based on the fact that Rabbi Yeshua was a Levi and Rabbi Akiva was the one who took care of the aniyim. But he never called it a shame meiser. Also, when you're being mafresh maestros, you're supposed to say how much. If you have 100 pounds of produce, you're supposed to say 10 pounds are maestro rishon and 9 is maestro rishon. You're supposed to say that. And he goes on, Trumas Maaser Shein Yasladam Nasan Reb Lezer Ben Azariah Shei Kohen Lama Hutzach Lezev Ala Lohei Lo Lirishem Yochlin Bnei Beisim Menu Shei Tvoi Yisum Beisim Ben Gamliel Vayu Yodim Shnasan Lo. Why then did Rabbi Yoshua immediately mafresh Trumas Maaser on the boat? Which that part of the story our Gemara doesn't quote, but in the Sefer over there it quotes that story in the Mishnah Maaser Sheini. It quotes the end of the story that Rabbi Yoshua, as soon as he got the Maaser Rishon, says, oh, I better take off the Trumas Maaser, and he's mafresh Trumas Maaser on the boat. What was he worried that people in his house are going to eat the Trumas Maaser? They can't. The produce is still in Rabbi Gamliel's house. So what's he worried about? So let him be mafresh. Why does he have to be mafresh to Trumas Maaser? What's the rush? Okay. And finally, he says, "Vodkash kibin shlo kavu makom l'tzvonol l'dromo mahol ba'afrashaso." Why does it even help? Why does this afrasha even help if he didn't? If he didn't say where the produce is, the north side, the south side, etc. So says Tosos, we have a totally different pshat. Rashi is incorrect. The story is not that he forgot to be mafresh shumas ma'isos. He was mafresh shumas ma'isos a long time ago. There are two mitzvos when it comes to shumas ma'isos. The mitzvos afrasha, in order to take produce that was tevel and make it no longer tevel, you're mafresh, and then once you're mafresh, you then have to give it to the right people. He was mafresh. He never gave it to the right people. Now, generally speaking, you have time to give it to the right people. You have until the Shas HaBiur. Once the Shas HaBiur comes, though, you have to be able to say, Biarti HaKodesh Min Abayis, I took care of everything, all the Maaser Rishon that I was Mafresh got to a Levi, and all the Maaser Sheni that I was Mafresh, all the Maaser Ani that I was Mafresh got to the Ani, and the Maaser Sheni got to Yerushalayim. Everything got to where it's supposed to go. You have to do that by the time of the Shas HaBiur. Says Rabbi Natan, that's what happened. Rabbi Natan, the third to last line, Rabbi Natan, Shas HaBiur Haya, Shayitzarch Levar Maasrosa Mitoch Pesov Litnam Lebaalehen. It wasn't that he wasn't Mafresh. He was mafresh long ago, but now was the time of biur, and he realized that he's going to have to make sure that it gets to who it's supposed to get to. So he needs to be makne that meiser that was already in his house, that already was in a box that said meiser rishon on it. He was now being makne that to Rabbi Yeshua. Yeah.
But you don't have to actually deliver the truma of the meiser to what's it called, as long as you say to the kohen, it's on my field in on the north side of the field in that.
Well,
then you've concluded the Messina. The Kohen is coming actually collect it and bring it.
I'm not sure. There's a well known Nodeb Yehuda. And then we're going to mention later in the Masechta, the Yehuda says, and this is related to something else Tosfos mentions, the Yehuda says that I was Mechadeh, I realized something, I was Mechadeh, no one ever thought of before me, I can't believe it, I never found it anywhere. It turns out like three or four Rishonim say it. There's a Tosfos Rid later on in the Masechta that says that when it comes to the mitzvah of Truma, let's say, there's two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah Hafrasha, the mitzvah to be mafresh the truma, and for that, because the Nadavid was bothered by the kasha, we say chita achas pateres is kol akri. When it comes to truma, one stalk of wheat and the whole thing is fine. Yet we also say that you need a kedei nesina. You need to give the kohen a substantial amount. That's a kedei nesina. Well, I understand. If chita achas works, how can you have a kedei nesina? Says Nadav Yehuda, there are two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah hafrasha, which makes your produce no longer tevel. For that, all you need is a chita achas. Then there's a separate mitzvah nesina, where you have to get together enough truma to give to the kohen in a substantial way, where you're giving him a substantial amount. Those are two separate mitzvahs. The mitzvah nesina, you need a kedei nesina. It seems that the mitzvah nesina, though, is that you do have to give it, you have to be makanit to the kohen, otherwise you're not yotzei nesina. Your mara makom ulo only works if he makes a kinyan on it, meaning he needs to actually make some sort of kinyan in order for it to be yotzei nesina. I do believe the mitzvah nesina has to be with a kinyan, as far as I know.
Yeah, but it's not delivery. You could have.
Okay, so deliver or not deliver is not
the
option.
But they have to. Why do Rukum have to give him the land?
Oh, because exactly.
He just could have done a
right, so that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying he wanted to give him the land because he didn't want to inconvenience them later on to know that their stuff is on Rav Gamliel's land and that they better remove it because it's not nice to keep your stuff on someone else's land. Right, that's the Maskanas of Gemara. That's why he did it. Right, because he didn't want them to have to go through that trouble of knowing that they better retrieve it soon because it's not nice to leave your stuff in someone else's house. So he gave him the land and said, "Don't worry, it's your house. So you can leave it there." Okay, Tosus also asks on the Tosus carries over to the topic of Zayin Amaral. Tosus in Tomer Lameinu Masker Truma Gedola Bu Maaser Rishon. Aren't we missing a major thing? Truma Gedola isn't mentioned. He's giving Maaser Rishon. He's giving Maaser Ani. What happened to Truma? So Tosus says V'yesh Mefarshim Shum Tachite Achas Pesar Screaming Atar V'Shem Refrisha Kolim Shatzim Basically That's the Day Sru Doraisa Menasa LeKohen. To take care of Truma Gedola is very easy. You just need to take one stalk of wheat. So maybe he was in such a rush, he just quickly took one stalk of wheat and took care of it, and that was it. Patel says, "Nah, v'loni yirav chiloy lo Rav Gamliel lachosh liyisur drabanan." Rav Gamliel believed in yisurim drabanan also. Chita achas pateres kol akri only works midaraisa. On a drabanan level, you're supposed to give more. You're supposed to give 1/60, 1/40, 1/50, depending on how nice you are. But you're supposed to give more for truma to be yotzei midrabanan. So it's unlikely that Rav Gamliel would have just said, chita achas is good enough. Forget about what the rabbis say." So v'yesh mefarshim lahachlo eskut truma gadol fi shein chayeves b'beir. Tosfos says, "No, but according to what I'm saying, that it's all about the mitzvahs." biur, maybe truma gedola is not included in the mitzvah of biur, and he tries to prove that. And then Tosfos says later on in the Tosfos, v'yesh lomer devadei truma hifrish ba'odu besada, the regilus u lahafrish begaren. The thing about truma gedola is that it's normal to be mafrish truma gedola at a much earlier stage. So apparently, it's shayich that Rav Gamliel was mafrish truma gedola, even though he was not yet mafrish the Maaser Rishon and the Maaser Ani. Okay, let's see the Gemara weiter. Tashma, fifth raya. Now we're still trying to work on this issue of do you need Sivorinu Munachin? Do you need the metaltalin to be piled up in the karka that you're being makna to the person? There's just one more thing to mention. The next Tosas, Nasan Yoshua, Tosas says that Rabbi Shua, that Tosas asks, how could he give the Maaser Rishon to Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanani, who is a Levi? The Gemara in Yevamos says that Ezra came and made a knas on the Levim because they weren't Ola with him to Eretz Yisrael. He made a knas on them that they no longer receive Maaser Rishon. So this was way after the times of Ezra. How could Rabbi Gamliel give his Maaser Rishon to a Levi? You're not supposed to do that anymore. So Tosfos says Yeshlomer the Savar lo Kanas La'aniyim Rabbi Yeshua Ani Haya. Now even though Ezra made a knas not to give Maaser Rishon to Levim, a Levi who's an Ani wasn't included in that Knas. And we know that Rabbi Shua was an Ani. How do we know Rabbi Shua was an Ani? The famous Gemara Maseches Brachos, Mikosle Beischa Nikr Shepchamiata, when they had the whole power struggle over who was going to be the Rosh Yeshiva, and Rabbi Yeshua was insulted by Rabbi Gamliel, and he had to come and he had to apologize. So he came into his house and he couldn't believe it. He said he couldn't believe what a shack it was, what a not becovedic residence it was. He said, you must be a blacksmith because I see the walls of your house are all black. And Rabbi Yeshua couldn't believe how out of touch he was with the people. So this is how normal people live. Not everyone is an Asher Muflug like you. So, but the point is, you do see from that story that Rabbi Yeshua was in fact poor. So since he was an Ani, maybe he wasn't included in the knas that Ezra made. Tosfos asks Vayter though, but wait a second, if he was an Ani, why do you have to give the Maaser Ani to Rabbi Akiva? You might as well give him the Maaser Ani also if he was such an Ani. So Tosfos says, when you give Maaser Ani, it's better to give to a lot of Aniim rather than to concentrate all of your funds in one place. It's an interesting issue by tzedakah, right? Should you give a lot of money to one place and make a real impact on that one place, or do you spread the money out? So at least with Maaser Ani, it was Rabbi Gamliel's feeling to give to a lot of different people that because Anosim Matanos of the Koyin, maybe Ra of Leolam. The Gemara is an expression. If you give all your matanos to the same guy, to the same Kohen, so it's going to bring starvation because other people are going to suffer for it. Much better to spread the wealth around. Or, he says, it could be that while Rabbi Yeshua was very poor, he wasn't quite poor enough to qualify for Maaser Ani. That he was poor enough to qualify for not being included in the Knas of Ezra, but he had Masayim Zuz, and therefore he wasn't poor enough to qualify for Maaser Ani. It could be that once he gave him the Maaser Rishon, he wasn't poor enough to qualify for the Maaser Ani. Meaning, it could be that now he had Masayim Zuz worth of Rabbi Gamliel's Maaser Rishon. Like we said before, Rabbi Gamliel had an enormous amount of produce. So that's why Rabbi Gamliel wasn't worried about the people in his house eating it all, because he had such an enormous amount of produce. So it could be once he gave Rabbi Yeshua the Maaser Rishon, Rabbi Yeshua was no longer poor enough to qualify for Maaser Ani. Okay, now back in the Gemara, the fifth Raya. Tashema. There are two types of shtaros. If I say I want you to be kona this field for Ploni and write a shtar for him, so I could change my mind about the shtar, but I can't change my mind about the field because the kinyan already happened on the field. It's too late to change my mind about the field. Frektosos. And if he changes his mind about the shtar, bottom line is the field still belongs to the guy. So what difference does it make if he changes his mind about the shtar? So he says, no. V'yeshlomer delonichalei delepuk shtar ilavei. Deika kala b'shtar tfeimi be'edim v'yomrshu ani shemokra akal v'loyim tzimalve. It doesn't look good for him when there are shtaros that are running, that are out there saying that he's selling off his property. Meaning, so he'll sell it, but when a shtar is made about it, so that when the shtar is written, then everyone knows about it, and when everyone realizes he's selling his properties, it makes it look like he's in a bad position financially, and that's going to hurt him in future business deals because people will know that he's desperate. So it's much better for him just not to have a shtar out there. So that's why he might want to be chozer in the shtar, even though he's not going to be chozer in the field itself. However, that's one type of shtar. But if you say al menas shetich v'lo shtar chozer b'mishtar b'misadiv, if you say I want you to be corner of this field, al menas, that you write a shtar for the guy. So then, if he's chozer, he could be chozer in everything. He could be chozer in the field, because the kinyan on the field is not chal unless they're until the shtar is already done. Prior to the shtar being done, there's no kinyan at all. Rabbi Chiya bar Rav, Amar Rav Huna, shlosha shtar, he says, no, there's a third type of shtar. Trei hadi amron. Two of the types of shtar, so exactly like you just said, and idach, the third type, im kada mocher v'kosav lo shtar, kosav shishninu, kosav shtar l'mocher, al pishay lokeach imo. If the mocher writes the shtar not in the presence of the lokeach, which he's allowed to do, if I'm selling you something, I can write a shtar that says that something belongs to you, even though you're not there. As soon as you make a kinyan chazak on that karka, you acquire the shtar along with the karka, wherever the shtar may be. It doesn't matter if the shtar is on that karka, if the shtar is with us or not, you automatically acquire the shtar together with the karka. So don't you see that you don't need it to be piled in, you don't need the metaltlin to be piled onto the karka in order to be kona the metaltlin? So that's our fifth raya. Says Gemara, no, that's not a proof. Shiny shtar daf. Maybe a shtar is different because a shtar is the like the handle of the land, meaning the shtar is not is considered to be part of the land because the shtar is written on this land, so the shtar is part of this land. So says Gemara, v'halakatani zui shishin mechasim shen lachayis nukum mechasim sheyesh lachayis because of shtar b'chazaka. How can you say that a shtar is different and this isn't a typical kinyan agav? We learned that this is a classic. This is the prototype for kinyan agav. This is the classic type of kinyan agav. When you're kona the shtar, agav the kinyan you make on the karka. So shema mina, lo bin smur, shema mina. Okay, fine, so you got us. Right? So that's the ultimate raya. That in fact, apparently, you don't need it to be piled onto the shtar, onto the karka. You don't need the metalsin to be piled onto the karka in order to be kona through a kinyan agav. Fine, that's the maskana. Now, weiter in issues relating to kinyan agav, frak the gemari bailu, me being an agav alo. When you do a kinyan agav, do you need to say agav? Or can you just assume? Meaning, can you just say you're being kona this metaltlin also? Do you need to say agav? Do you need to say that word? So tashma the katani kalhani v'lo katani agav. So well, the clearest raya is all these cases that we've brought of kinyan agav. Not a single one of them mentioned that the guy ever said the word agav. It's just understood that when you're being kona metaltlin together with karka, that it's being nikna with a kinyan agav. So frekling maral tameich. Kni mi katani? Did it say the word kni in any of these cases either? Did he ever tell him, I want you to be kone in any of these cases? Ela ada amar kni, hachanami ada amar agav. No, obviously it doesn't mention the exact method of how to do the kinyan, but yes, you do need to say kni, and therefore you do need to say agav as well. V'hilchsa tzvorim lo bi'inan, agav kni bi'inan. You don't need it to be piled up, you don't need the metalton to be piled up on the karka, but to say agav and to say kni, that you do need. If you want a kinyan agav to work, you need to say those words. Now the Tosfos Riazakin in the margin over here, on the side of the page, says a chiddush. He says, Mistavra, dafka b'she'ein tziborim betocha karka. When do you need to say agav kni? When the metaltlin are not piled into the karka. Meaning, why does the Gemara go back and relate to the halach of Sibarim? We already said, Shema mina bin and Sibarim ba Shema mina. Now we're talking about whether you need to say the word agav kni. So why in the middle of a discussion whether you need to say agav kni, we throw in, yeah, v'hilchsa Sibarim lo bin and agav kni bin. No, because they're connected. You only need agav kni when the metaltlin is not piled onto the karka. When it is piled onto the karka, you don't need to say the words agav kni. Then it's obvious. Then it goes along with it. It's only when it's not piled on the karka that you need to say agav kni. So that's his raya. His other raya is Tosrid says. Well, Tosrid doesn't quote that raya, but that seems like a pashut raya. His other raya is. The other raya that we can suggest is the Tosfos Rid brings himself is he says that v'hainu delo bi'inan delo bayi ibayi agav ukni ada asik delo bi'in siburim. Meaning, when we're dealing with kinyan agav, shouldn't this have been the first question? How do you do kinyan agav? Do you need to say the word agav? Shouldn't this have come before the tziborim, the whether you need the stuff to be piled into the land or not, before that whole issue? Why do we only raise this question once we come to a maskana about whether you need things piled into the land? So says Tos Rid, the reason is, because had we come to the conclusion that you needed to be piled on the land, then we never would have had a shaila. It would have been pasha, you don't need to say agav ukni. once we go and we say, no, it doesn't need to be piled onto the land, so now we have a shaila. Do you need agav u'kni? Do you not need agav u'kni? So we say that, when it's not piled on the land, yes, you do need agav u'kni. When it's not piled on the land, you do need to say agav u'kni, but only when it's not piled on the land, not when it is piled on the land. Right? This may relate to the broader issue of how kinyan agav works. Right? Is kinyan agav that you're really only making one kinyan, you're making a kinyan only on the karka, and the metalton just automatically goes along with it? Or is it that you're making a kinyan on the karka, and that same kinyan on the karka is also supposed to be a kinyan on the metalton? But the metalton does require a kinyan, it's just that it's covered with the kinyan of the karka. Meaning again, do you say the metalton doesn't need a kinyan at all, and as long as you make kinyan on the karka, metalton just gets slept along? Or do you say the metalton needs its own kinyan, and the kinyan you make on the karka has to be shaykh to the metalton? So how's that related? Maybe if the shaila, do you need to say agav u'kni about the metaltalin, relates to whether the metaltalin needs a kinyan, right? If it needs a kinyan, so then you would need to say agav u'kni. If it doesn't need a kinyan, then you wouldn't need to say agav u'kni. Okay, anyway, says Gemara Vayter, Yibayilu, sadu b'mechu metaltalin matana mahu. What if you're selling the field, but you're giving the metaltalin as a matana? Can you be makna metaltalin to a person agav a field when it's two different types of kinyanim? The metalton you're giving as a gift and the field you're selling. So Tashma, Yisrushan Yasud Lamud, Nasal Yashua Mukama Muskala Shmamina. Right? The story happened where he was giving Maiser Rishon to Rabbi Yeshua, and he was renting the field to him. Now renting the field to him, that's like a mecher. Giving the Maiser Rishon, that's like a matana. So you see, even though it's two different types of kinyanim, it works. Yibayiluhu, sadda le'echad metaltal na'achar mahu. What if you give the field to one person, the metaltalin to another person? Can I be makna you, metaltalin, agav a field that I'm being makna to somebody else? So Tashma, Yisrushan Yasadam and Asna Akiva ben Yosef, Kdesh Yiska Balaniyim and Mukama Muskalo. He says 10% of my Sarani I'm giving to Akiva ben Yosef, said he could be Zoch on behalf of the Aniyim, and the place where it's resting is rented to Rabbi Akiva. Now wait a second, the Aniyim are getting the Maisarani. Rabbi Akiva is getting the field. So you see that it does work. Says Gemara, no, my muskur muskul the Maiser. No, the field's not rented to Rabbi Akiva. It's rented to the Maiser, to the Maisarani fund, which is owned by all Aniyim. Vibay Seima, Shiny Rabbi Akiva, the Yad Aniyim Hava. Or you could say, no, Rabbi Akiva is different because Rabbi Akiva is considered the Yad of the Aniyim, meaning based on his position of being the Gabay Tzedakah, of being the one who supported everyone, so he was he was considered like the Yad Aniyim. It's considered giving to the same person. That's why I saw quoted that Rabbi Tzadok says that Rabbi Akiva is referred to in the story by his father's name also, Akiva ben Yosef. In the Sfarim of Rabbi Tzadok, and in a lot of other Sfarim, especially Hasidic Sfarim, they read a lot into the names of the fathers of the Amoraim. When someone is called Ben so and so, so sometimes they view it as it happens to be his father's name, but they also view it as having deeper meaning, that like you refer to someone as a Ben Torah, that it describes who the person is, it describes what he's about. So Akiva Ben Yosef, we don't always refer to him as that, we call him Rabbi Akiva normally. Why refer to him as Akiva Ben Yosef? Because over here, in his role as Gabay Tzedakah, someone who takes care of other people and makes sure they have what to eat, that's the Ben Yosef, that's the Midah of Yosef HaTzadik that was in him. Now, Yosef HaTzadik took care of the whole world, he was Mefarnes the entire world. That was the midah that Rabbi Akiva was expressing in his role of Gabay Tzedakah. That's why Yosef is called Yosef HaTzadik, right? Who is called Tzadik in Tanakh? Noach Ish Tzadik and Yosef HaTzadik. Why? Those are the only two people that we have that were mefarnes the entire world. Noach, there wasn't much of a world left, but he was mefarnes everyone in the Teva, and Yosef HaTzadik was mefarnes the entire world. That's how you earn the title Tzadik. Rabbi Isaac Bernstein once pointed out, Rabbi Razman used to love this part, always told it to me. Rabbi Isaac Bernstein used to pointed out, Hoseches Yodechem Asbiel Chol Chai Ratzon, Tzadik, right? When do we call the Ribbono Shel Olam Tzadik? Right after we say, must be a l'chol chai ratzon, that he goes and he's mefarnes everybody. So being mefarnes everyone is what earns the person the title of a tzadik. Anyway, Amar Rav Lo Shanu El Shnasan Demei Kulan, Av Lo Nasan Demei Kulan, Lo Kanel Kanegan Va'osav. This whole idea of metalton being nicknam on a chazaka that you make on a karka is only if you paid for all the metalton. But if you didn't pay for all the, if you didn't pay for everything, so then you're only going to be, you didn't pay for all the metalton, then you're only going to be kona what you paid for. Tanya Kava said to Rava, we have a brisa that supports Rava. Yafa koach hakesef mikoach hashtar, v'koach hashtar mikoach hakesef. In certain ways, kinyan kesef is stronger than shtar. In certain ways, shtar is stronger than kesef. Yafa koach kesef shah kesef podim ba'ak teshos ma'ish sheni v'shein kin b'shtar. Kesef is stronger than shtar in that you can use kesef to be poda hekdesh and ma'ish sheni. You can't use shtar to be poda hekdesh and ma'ish sheni. V'yafa koach hashtar shah shtar motzi ba'shol ma'ishein kin kesef. Shtar is stronger than kesef in that shtar can be used to give a get, but kesef can't. You can't give a get with kesef. The yafakach shneim mikach chazaka. Both kesef and shtar have something that chazaka doesn't have. The koch chazaka mikach shneim, and chazaka has something that both kesef and shtar don't have. Yafakach shneim shneim kana be'avid ivri. Kesef and shtar both work to be kana in avid ivri. Mashen ken bechazaka. Chazaka does not work to be kana in avid ivri. Yafakach chazaka shachazaka machal lo esu sadus pesu medinos kibin shechzuk v'achz mehem kana kulam. But chazaka is stronger than kesef and shtar in that chazaka can work if you sell 10 different fields and 10 different places at the same time. You make a chazaka on one of them and you're kona all of them through that kinyan chazaka. But when is that so? Only when you paid for all of them. But if you didn't pay for all of them, then you're only kona what you paid for. Says Rashi, when can you acquire another field that's nowhere near the field that you're the main field that you're doing the kinyan on? That's only bizman shenaslo, and only when you paid him all the money. I mean, our point is, we're trying to bring a raya to Rava over here. Rava said that the kinyan agav that you make on the metaltalin only works if you've paid for all of the metaltalin. So we're making a dimyon. We're saying, just like over here, when you're acquiring multiple karkaos, buying those other karkaos only works when you paid for them. So too, by the metaltalin, the kinyan on the other metaltalin should only work when you've already paid for them. That's the comparison. Frektosis, though, a very important kasha, a very strong kasha from Tomar. Below chazaka nami, kana mitam kesef. Meaning, forget about the chazaka then. If you have to pay for it, why aren't you kona with the kesef? If you're paying for it anyway, so why doesn't the kinyan work as a kinyan kesef? So v'yishlomer demari basur lo kona b'kaspa. We're dealing with a place where they're not kona with kesef. That's the thing. They're not kona with kesef. Okay. Tosos also suggests maybe the case was Rabbeinu Shmuel in the first skinny line suggests that no, maybe the case was that it's I paid for it, but not by giving you kesef. I paid for it by the fact that you owed me money. So I'm mochel all the money that you owed me, and in that way we call it even. So since we never did a formal act of kinyan with kinyan kesef, even though it's all paid for, right? That's why we need the chazaka in order to be kona it. It's not going to work with kinyan kesef because I never did something to give you kesef. I just said, you know what? Forget it. You don't have to pay me back the money. We'll call it even based on the offsetting chovos that we have toward each other. Okay. Says Gemara Vayitim. This is a riot. Shmuel damer Shmuel machalo. Esther saw this best of medinos. Kivin shirtsu v'achtman kanes kulan. If you sell 10 fields in 10 different places and you make a chazaka on one of them, you're kona all the 10 fields in all the 10 different places. Amar v'achav reid ravika teida, I'll prove it to you. Shilu musal aser behemos b'afsar echad v'am l'kni milo kani. After all, if you have 10 animals that are all tied together and you hang on to one of them, so aren't you kona all of them? If you say kni, you're kona all of them. So that's the same as aser sados. You have 10 different fields. You make a kinyan chazak on one of them, so you're kona all of them. So Amar l'ay says, no, you can't compare those two cases. Midami hasam igudo biyado. Over there, if you yank one of them, they'll all be schlepped along, right? Because they're all connected to each other. So they're all considered one unit by the animals. By the field, they're 10 totally different fields and 10 different countries and 10 different places. Right? That's what the Shalom Mitzvah Balach points out over here. Be'eser Medinos. Why do we say Be'eser Medinos, not just Be'eser Mekomos? Because it's an additional Chiddush, that Be'eser Medinos, where it may not even be easy to travel from one to the other, to get from one place to the other, to make the Kinyanim on each of them. And therefore, I might have thought that they're so separate from each other, because after all, governments have wars and fights with each other and restrictions on travel and things like that. It's not always so easy to get from one Medina to another Medina, but still, the kinyan on one works for all of them. So they're very much not connected, even though, so meaning, in comparison to the animals that are all tied together, they're not nearly as connected as the animals. So the raya from the animals is not a good raya, the Gemara says. Ikadami, others had the raya the other way. The Ramar of Achabred Ravika, Teda, Delokani, Ilu Masalas, Behemus, Bafsrach, Ramalo, Zukni. me kani. He said, no, they thought it's a raya that you're not kona, the 10 fields. Because after all, if you have the 10 animals tied together, and you give over, let's say, the straps of the saddle to the guy of one of the animals, and you say, zukni, I want you to be kona, not just kni, zukni, I want you to be kona this one. Why, you think you're kona all 10 animals? Of course not. So that's just like the case of the field. Why would you be kona all 10 fields when you're only making a maisa kinyan on one of them? Says Gemara, no, that's also not a comparable case, not a good raya. Midami hasam gufu mechlakim hachas sadna da'arachadhu. By the animals, these are 10 distinct beings, 10 distinct animals. Land is, it's one big earth that we live on, and the land is all connected. And wherever you are on earth, the land is all connected. Pashtus means even over oceans, because through the ocean, the floor of the ocean, land is all connected, and therefore it's all considered one. It's all considered one unit. If I'm not mistaken, the Rush, I think, has a chiluk between whether the lands are neighboring to each other or not neighboring to each other. But it doesn't sound from the Gemara that there should be any chiluk, meaning it sounds like sadna darachadu, wherever it is, it's all considered like it's neighboring to each other because it's one stretch of land. Okay, vayitav zoknas nechasim. So we said that nechasim sheyesh lemachrayos, when you have karka, you don't normally take a shvua on karka. But once you're taking a shvua on metaltlin, we could be megalgali shvua on you on karka as well. Meaning, if you're taking a shvua already on metaltlin, so we can make you, force you at that point to take a shvua on karka as well. So, amru l'minayin l'gilgul shvua min haTorah. Where do we have this concept of gilgul shvua in the Torah? Shnemar va'amra isha amein amein. Because the woman says amein amein. Utnan al mahi omeres amein amein. And the Mishnah says, why does she say amein amein? What's the double amein? Amein ala Allah, amein ala shvua. She says amein to the curse that's going to happen to her if she's guilty, and amein ala shvua, meaning the shvua that she didn't do what she was purported to have done. Amein imishzeh, amein imishacher. She's saying, and the shvua and the Allah should be true, should happen, even if it was someone else, and not the man that I've been suspected of sleeping with, even if I slept with someone else. Amein shalos atisi arusa, nesua shomeres yavam uknusa. Amein that I didn't become a sota as an arusa, as a nesua, as a shomeres yavam, at any point, as a knusa, after I did yibum. I didn't, at no point did I do any of this stuff that I'm accused of. So that's all the amains. So frak the Gemara, hay arusa hechidami. What's the case where she could have become a sota as an arusa? If everything happened while she was an arusa, up until the point where she's drinking the mesota, an arusa and shemeres yavam don't drink the mesota. My time tachas yisheichem rachman v'leka, because the Torah says tachas yisheich, and she was never tachas yisheich because she never had nisuin. Ella, rather, what's the case of arusa? The kani lak shia arusa v'nistarak shia arusa. He was koner while she was in arusa, and she had stira while she was in arusa. She was alone with the guy while she was in arusa. The kamashk lak shi nesua. But the drinking of the waters is when she's in nesua. Well, in that case, mi batki lamaya, does the water even work for her? V'niki yish me'avon amarachmanu b'zman shi yish menuka me'avon mayim batk me'asishto. Ein yish menuka me'avon ein mayim batk me'asishto. If the man is not menuka me'avon, then if the man is not free of sin, the water isn't going to help anyway. And in this case, the man isn't free of sin because he has since slept with her since this whole story went down. How do I know? They had nisuin since then. So how the water won't work anyway. So what's the case where, how could she ever have to take this swear that she didn't do this as an arusa? El ali de gilgul. So you see there's a concept of gilgul. That's when she took the swear through a gilgul shvua, that really the main shvua was that she didn't do it as a nisua. Once she's swearing she didn't do it as a nisua, she says ali de gilgul. She swears also about an arusa. There's a lot to talk about on that particular issue. Mitzvah, we'll start with that tomorrow.